Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com. So you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, most Christians should be familiar with the scripture, "We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." But what does that really mean? And without going into a deep theological, spiritual application type of discussion, let's just say you, me, and everyone else sins each and every day. Mm-hmm. If you just said, "Well, not me," well, you just sinned. You're a liar, right? So you just committed a lie, and that is a sin because everybody sins every day. But praise God, you know, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good here now, but praise God, His forgiveness extends even to us when we sin every day, even in unintentionally. But seriously, if every person sins, and as I said, they do so every single day in some way, form, or fashion, then we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we need forgiveness. And sometimes we sin against others in the process, but it might be something we say, something we do, it might be something we fail to say or do. It might be, well, there are basically boundless opportunities to sin each and every day. And along with us sinning against others all day long, there are others who do things to us as well. And one of the most dangerous areas that we can move into is the sin of unforgiveness. If we fail to forgive someone when they sin against, as the Lord's Prayer implies, this will stop us from receiving our forgiveness as well. Forgiveness is the central core of the Bible and all that Jesus accomplished at the cross. That's what we need to share with as many people as possible. Amen. Well, that is what our guest today is all about. Dr. Rosemarie Downer is a Christian nonfiction author who's written several books over these last few years. Dr. Downer served with the U.S. Department of Agriculture as a social science researcher for over 20 years. 30 years, and as an adjunct professor with Bowie State University for 24 years. She's now retired from both positions and has dedicated herself to doing what she's always dreamed of doing, writing books that edify the body of Christ. Amen. Her most recent book is titled The High Call of Forgiveness. It's a mandate, and that's what we're discussing today. Help me welcome to the program, Dr. Rosemarie Downer. Dr. Downer, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Amen. Now, this book, The High Call of Forgiveness, It's a Mandate, is actually a re-release of a book you wrote in 2015. Is that right?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. Why did you have to rewrite it?
I rewrote it because when I first released it in 2015, first of all, I didn't promote it. I didn't push it. I wrote it and it just sat there. So it didn't have a broad reach. And I've grown some over 6 years and have more in me to offer on the topic of forgiveness. So I thought I would brush it up, expand it. As well, when I released it in 2015, the folks who bought it, several of them said, "Rosemarie, have you thought about making this a study series? Because it will allow people to go deeper in the concepts in the book." So I needed to redo it and then line it up with a study series, which is what I did. So it comes with a leader guide and a student workbook.
Ah, okay. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And as followers of Christ, we are required by God to forgive. And that's why you call it a mandate, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And just that word, mandate. I mean, it's not a "do this if you feel like it" type of word. It's a command, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, an order.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, the vaccination mandates right now with COVID, you know, it's not an option. Do it, you know, go get it done. And not a "do this if you want to" type of thing. Amen.
And when we get mandates or commands from figures of authority and we don't obey or don't follow through, there are consequences.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There are consequences. And that includes Christians.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because we are required to actually, you know, forgive others as we have been forgiven. You know, another way of looking at that would be if we take the Bible literally, which we should, if we do not forgive those who offended us, then we will not be forgiven for our sins.
Correct.
Which offend God, right?
That's the word. That's the word.
Amen. So when you were writing this book, why this book do you think is appropriate for this day and time in which we live?
Forgiveness issue, the topic of forgiveness, is always relevant and it's always current. It's not going to go away. And one would think that it is not present or not pervasive in the body of Christ, but it is. From the pulpit to the back pew, it's pervasive. So I thought it was very relevant, especially for the body of Christ, because this book is heavily Bible-based. I'm coming out of scripture with it, and I show the readers what Jesus, our Lord, said, what he did for us, and the grace that he has provided for us to actually walk in forgiveness. So this book was birthed really out of an experience that I went through. And I started writing the book when the incident occurred, and I stopped. The Lord stopped me, because years later, when I went back and read what I wrote, I saw then why he stopped me. Because what I was writing would not bless anyone. What I was doing was retelling my story. I was writing from a place of pain. And I'm not the type of person to start something and don't finish it. So I know the Lord put me through that situation and then downloaded what's in that book. What's in that book, I did not research. I did not look it up on the internet. I did not read someone else's book and reword it. This is what the Lord taught me through encounters with him, what forgiveness, his way, look like. Because a lot of times we think we have forgiven, but when we look closely at the word of God and what he says about forgiveness, we realize that we are still in a state of unforgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's so true. You know, I know the incident you're talking about, because during my research, I read that. So I don't want to get into details on it, but were you struggling through this and you're trying to use this book as therapy for yourself, or is this basically detailing the steps you went through for forgiveness?
Not the first one, definitely. Okay. It wasn't therapy for myself. And it's partially the second option. I'll tell you the real reason for writing this book. I want this book to reach people that are hurting. This book is written to deliver people who are stuck at the gates of unforgiveness, who cannot release this thing, who cannot see it possible, who have been hurt and are bleeding, are wounded. I want this book to open their eyes to see that my freedom, my deliverance is on the other side, and I need to step over into that realm. That's why this book is written. This book is written to deliver people, to educate people, to inspire people, to challenge people, to give pastors and counselors and therapists in the Christian realm a tool to work with when they're counseling and working with people that are hurt. Yeah. It's a means. Okay, so Father took me through this experience to equip me, I believe, to bring this message to people that need to hear it. That's the ultimate reason of writing this book.
Amen.
And that's why I did it again, and I'm trying to do the necessary, take the necessary steps to promote it, to push it, to get it out there. Because you can write a good book and it just sits there if you do nothing with it. I've learned that. So this is why I'm doing this, yes.
Yeah, you talk about having a good book and nobody reads it, just sits there and nothing happens. You know, sometimes I go visit people, you know, and I minister to them. And I say, really? The Bible says that? Yeah, get yours. I'll show you the scripture. And they're like, Myrtle, where's our Bible at? You know, that tells you they're not doing anything with it, which is the reason this is why, you know, or the one that really I have to chuckle on the inside is, you know, they have their family Bible sitting right there on the coffee table, you know, and say, well, here, let me show you. I pick it up and you see the perfect dust outline.
Yeah.
Where this book hasn't been moved in weeks or months.
Right, exactly.
Well, we laugh, but that is serious. I mean,
so true.
Not studying.
So true.
The answer.
That so true.
Bible has the answer to what you're reading in there. So how does your book, The High Call of Forgiveness, it's a mandate. How does your book lead the reader through to that conclusion in their own situation?
That's a really good question. I start with showing the readers that offense, which is what we call, the scriptures refers to it as offense, Matthew 18:7. I use the word infraction, where the wrong is done. So I start with explaining to the reader that it's a strategy of the enemy. So I begin by taking the focus off of the person who's hurt. When we are hurt, we are looking at ourselves. It's done to me. I didn't do anything wrong. Why me? Why me? And that begin to lock you into a place of hurt and separate you from those who love you and those who want to reach you and those who you can reach. So I first explain that it's a strategy of the enemy, and that especially in the body of Christ, when we are hurt by another brother or sister in the body, it is not about us. It's bigger than us. It's about the seed in you. It's about your destiny. Amen. I explained that we are a body. So if you are hurt, the entire body is affected. It doesn't function fully as it did before you got hurt. So consider yourself important enough for the enemy to come after you. If you are the left eye and he came after you, that left eye must have been doing something that he didn't like. You're at a good place for the enemy to attack you. Yeah. So I come from that perspective to shift the focus off of the victim, if you would allow me to use that word, to a bigger picture.
Yeah.
I go into the context of offense, why we hurt each other, why we hurt so easily when we are hurt, why we hold on to hurt so long, that hurt is okay, what the consequences of hurt, holding on to hurt so long is, what will happen if we do that, the consequences of unforgiveness, the blessings of forgiveness, and walk readers through the steps we can take to be made whole. And that Jesus Christ wants us whole. He doesn't just want us healed. He wants us whole from within and out, from the core of who we are, from the motives that drive our behavior and our thoughts, that he wants us whole. So that's a snippet of the process. I also create a flowchart in the book from the infraction all the way to bitterness, the steps that we take, the infraction, hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, because unforgiveness is not the worst. Bitterness, that next stage,
absolutely,
is absolutely worse. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, I've ministered people before, and I reference like this. You know, someone said or did something to you, and you know, 10 years ago, and you've been, you know, and this, the only person that's hurting is you.
Is you?
Yeah. This person has moved on with their life. They just know, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what her problem is, or I don't know what his problem is, but whatever, you know, and they're moving on with their life. And, you know, here you are 10, 15, 20 years later, upset because, you know, he bumped into your brand new car in the parking lot. And, you know, I mean, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you're the only one holding on to it. And when the Lord would finally break through, he'd say, well, I'm going to go tell him that I forgive him, and that way I'll be done with it. And you walk up and say, you know what, I just want to tell you why all these years I just didn't want anything to do with you is because you scratched my brand new car back in 1978 out in the parking lot. And,
right.
You know, and he's like, what?
Yeah. I did
that's
that?
What all this is about. I mean, he went on with his life and he knew it.
Yes.
And that's what the devil will do. He'll keep, well, you can't go
fellowship
with them. Remember what he did 30 years
absolutely.
Ago?
You know? Absolutely.
And yeah. So that I know exactly what you're talking about with that.
So I say unforgiveness is a prison built by the offended.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the offended that is behind bars. The offender is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
We are the ones when we are hurt. We build that prison of unforgiveness. We are locked up in it. And forgiveness sets us free. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Another saying that you'll hear every now and then is, well, I can forgive the sin, but not the sinner, you know, type thing. You know? and so many believers struggle with just obeying the command, forgive others as I have forgiven you. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if someone really wanted to take it personal, it'd be Jesus.
Jesus.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you just yelled at your 4-year-old kid today because they spilled the milk on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be something that kid remembers the rest of. I remember I spilled milk and my grandfather was, I was raised by my grandparents. I was so upset. I went underneath the table to hide.
You know? And you remember that.
Yeah, to this day, you know.
There you go. There you go.
And he was really upset and got the switch and, you know, all that. Because he just told me, use two hands to drink your cup. And I used one, you know. But I remember that incident.
Yes.
Now, I've forgiven him a long, long time.
Yes.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. You don't know how, you know, and I can guarantee, you know, when I'd be with the Lord back in 1983, but he didn't remember that incident. Now, if I would have brought it up, he may have remembered it, but it was just something that happened and he reacted. And as far as that was it, you know, he may have remembered it for 3 or 4 days or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I remember it 60 years later. That's because the devil, because, you know, you yelled at your kid, like your grandfather yelled at you, you know, it was just,
the thing, one of the things I share is that when we forgive, we don't get amnesia. He doesn't erase the memory of what happened. We remember what happened. But I promise you, when we forgive and we are healed, we don't remember the painful details of what happened.
Yeah.
The person that can rehearse what happened years ago, point by point, detail by detail, has not truly forgiven. Yeah. The other thing is, when we recall the incident, and this is how I put it, you recall the incident overall, but to go, oh, he said and she said, and I was sitting on the front porch and the sun was very hot and a squirrel ran across the front lawn while we were talking and a blue car drive by and no. Mm-hmm. When you remember the incident overall, when you recall that incident, the nature of the emotions with which you recall the incident matters. If you have forgiven, your emotions will not be painful. They will not be negative. Your emotions will be in line with where Christ wants you to be. Either tears of joy or thanksgiving. Father, thank you for bringing me through that. I'm where I am today because of what I went through. It's not tears of, I can't believe they did that to me. And no, it's not tears of all of what I went through. So these are markers that show us if we have forgiven God's way or not.
Yeah,
but he does not give us amnesia.
Yeah, amen. And often, like I said, you know, there'll be some little demon trying to get you to step
to go
back over
and back there. Exactly.
I found, you know, when that happens, just speaking directly to that little devil, say, "No, devil,
not
I've
today."
So and so,
that's right.
And I've dropped it over. I liken it to. I'll just use this ink pen as an example. Listening on the podcast, you're not seeing the video. Let's say we're in an audience situation and I say, you know, here, I want to give you my ink pen and you take it. And I walk down to this end and someone says, oh, can I borrow your ink pen? I don't have it. She has it. If you want you want it, you got to go talk to her. Jesus took our sins, took all of that away from us, all the unforgiveness, took all of that. So when the devil comes up, well, you know, whatever, the devil. I don't have that in
that's
my heart
anymore. That's
I gave it to Jesus. You want to talk to somebody about go see Jesus.
That's right. You got to go through him. That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And you said this book has a study guide and a leader's guide that goes along with it, correct?
Yes. Yes. An 18-session study series that delve deeper in the concepts shared in the book and the scriptures that are referenced in the book. It also has vignettes, scenarios, and situations that can be discussed and asked questions. So the materials can be practical and applicable. It gives people an opportunity to really ask questions about the concepts discussed in them and apply it to their to their lives at the same time. Yes.
Amen. Amen. So what types of settings would this book work best in, like Bible study class, a woman's group, or what?
Absolutely. All of the above. Bible study class, be it Sunday school, Sabbath school, women's groups, cell groups. You have small groups that meet, small groups met, book clubs. All of those studies. And the leader guide comes with the answers. And the student workbook comes with the blank spaces that the folks in the study can make their recorded answers. Yes.
Amen. Amen. How would the leaders of these groups benefit from the leader's guide version of the book as far as?
Absolutely. So
if
the leader is a Sabbath school or Bible school teacher, a Sunday school teacher, it's a resource. It's a means of information. If the leader is a pastor, counselor, therapist, a Christian therapist or counselor, it's another resource that they can use with people that they're working with. So I believe leaders will learn just as much as students will learn. And if they know this information, it reinforces what they already know. Also, when the leaders are teaching from this series, they really don't have to work hard at finding and getting the answers. The answers are written in their book and they can add to it. There are other places where they're invited to expand on the answers that I provide. So it's very useful to the students as well as to the leaders.
Amen. Amen. Have you received any feedback from leaders on the use of this book or anything yet?
Not yet. I just published it in late August. I'm working with some churches. A few churches have said they're going to use it as a study series. So not quite yet. I'm anxious to get some feedback on it as well. Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Because it sounds like this is what is needful right now, which is probably why the Holy Spirit told you to write it.
So absolutely. 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 I did not hold back. I pour all of what I have in that book. And when I came to the end of the book, I felt like I was on a journey with whomever would read it, because from A through Z of what the Lord has given me about forgiveness. And it was just a delight to actually pour it out on paper.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Rosemary, this has been a fascinating interview. How can someone obtain a copy of your book, The High Call of Forgiveness? It's Amanda. Is it on Amazon? I think
it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes and Noble. And you can also get it directly from me via my website, which is booksbyrosemary.com. So yes, all three means they can obtain that way.
The next question I had for you, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, you know, maybe to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch?
I welcome that. Booksbyrosemary.com or info@booksbyrosemary.com. Facebook, you can message me there, Books by Rosemary. Okay. What else? Instagram, Books by Rosemary. So there's several ways.
Huh?
Books by Rosemary all over the place. So yes, you can email me through the website, booksbyrosemary.com. Again, Facebook, Books by Rosemary. Email info@booksbyrosemary.com. And I welcome questions. Actually, it would be my delight to talk to anyone who have questions and get the book. You will not be disappointed. It will free you. It will heal you, deliver you, and put something in your hands that you can use to help someone else.
Amen. Amen. I'll put links to all this down in the show notes below. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, as Rosemary has detailed here on the interview and in her great book, The High Call of Forgiveness, it's a mandate. We need to learn to forgive. It's not just a suggestion. It's a command, a mandate from God. Amen. Go down to the show notes, get in touch with Rosemary today. Just go down, click the links there, and be sure to order your copy of her great book, The High Calling of Forgiveness, or The High Call of Forgiveness is a mandate. Mm-hmm. In fact, this time of year right now, you need to order two or three copies. Use them in your book club. Use them in your Bible study class. Mm-hmm. And in fact, pass them out to someone you know the Holy Spirit is just showing you they're holding a grudge against someone, or maybe you heard them talking about it. Mm-hmm. This book could be the influence they need to move on, to forgive. Mm-hmm. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate.
Amen. A mandate from the Father.
Amen. Rosemary, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I do appreciate it so much.
It was a pleasure and a delight. Thank you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Matter of fact, I'm going to put the links also to the student workbook and the leader's guide down below also. Okay, so you got all the links, folks, are right down there. Order all three. Glory to God. Lead this Bible study yourself. Glory to God. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Rosemary Dowder and myself, this Pastor Bob reminding you again, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.